coats are coming. They're not coats, but there's a lot of red here tonight. Amen. I told them at the door, I said, don't let any bulls in. Amen. We'll be in trouble around here. Amen. Praise the Lord. But kids can. Amen. Because Jesus can. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we'll be initiating a new program, and we're excited about it. And God bless you. Let's stand together. Amen. And those of you that need to be dismissed, may. Those of you that don't have to be, please stay. Amen. I'd like to have three or four to preach to, and it'd be nice. Amen. All right. How many believe the Lord is good? Let me ask you a question. Who's he been the best to this week? Amen. Who's he been the best to this week? Amen. He's been good to all of us, hasn't he? He's worthy. What a privilege to be in his presence in this place tonight. Let me take your attention tonight to the book of Mark, to the 9th chapter. Mark chapter 9, we're just going to read a couple of verses to launch from tonight. Reading verse number 23 and verse number 24. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Well, there's an honest man. He wasn't trying to impress anybody. He was desperate. He was just trying to get some help. He knew his own heart. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight about acting on your hopes. Acting on your hopes. Amen. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. We live, thank you, sir. We live in an age of doubt. We have been trained by our society to doubt. Everywhere we turn, there are people working on our doubt system instead of our belief system. Instead of our faith and building our faith, there are many that are trying to destroy faith. Amen. I grew up as a teenager in the years when things were mightily changing. And we were taught and told and heard from our teachers and different sources. They were saying, question everything. Question everything. Don't believe anything. Amen. And that was the age, and those same folks are in control of things today, and I don't really think things are getting much better. Amen. Because they attempted to destroy faith. In the name, Paul said it this way. He said in science, so-called. The word science essentially means knowledge. That's all it means, knowledge. So knowledge is a good thing. But whenever science claims to be God, it's a bad thing. When science tries to defeat faith, it's a bad thing. Amen. We need faith tonight. We've got to have faith tonight. But our world system is trying to destroy faith. Amen. I tell you why I don't have much faith in science. Because it's constantly changing. Things that were so yesterday are not so today. Things that they said, well, this is a fact yesterday, and it's not a fact today. It's been proven wrong. And so it's constantly changing. We live in a day of egos. When people are more interested in getting their name on a paper or getting their name on some kind of a theory or some kind of a so-called scientific fact, they don't take time to get their facts straight. Just as long as there's notoriety and there's fame and little fortune, they're willing to sell their reputation and their character for everything else. Amen. We live in an age of doubt. When I was beginning in school, we were just really getting started with this evolution thing. I used to teach it in class as a theory, and it still is a theory, and it will always be a theory, and not a very good one at that. But it has, in the scientific community, it has made such an inroad. And then academia, and even in some churches, it has made such an inroad that people doubt creation. Amen. People doubt that God created the heavens and the earth. And there are some preachers that want to believe that there had to be a Big Bang because science said so. Well, if you need a Big Bang, I'll give you one. God said, let there be, and bang, there was. Now, there you got it. You can go on and be happy. Amen. That's the Big Bang the Bible talks about. Amen. And that's all you need. Hallelujah. Amen. But you see, we live in an age of doubt where everything that we've been taught has been attacked. Now we are hearing that there's no absolute truths. There's your truth and then there's my truth. And there's no absolute truths. And it's okay to lie. If you need to lie to get out of something, then it's okay to tell a lie. Who's to tell you that you can't lie? Who's to tell you that adultery is wrong? Who is to tell you that homosexuality is a sin? Who is to tell you that all these things that we taught were wrong are wrong? Who's to tell you that? Just depends on what situation you're in. Huh? So you see, slowly but surely, there has been an erosion of our beliefs until people today have doubts about everything. Amen. And so we live in a world of doubt. It's undermined our faith. We are taught to live by our senses. How many have ever said, I can't believe my eyes? Amen. Have you ever heard that seeing is believing? Amen. And we're taught to live by our senses, you see. What you can see and what you can hear and what you can smell and what you can taste and what you can touch. And those are the things that you live by, just by your senses. But I'm telling you today that there's a sixth sense that's better than them all. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a faith that comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There's that sixth sense that gives you hope when your senses cannot give you hope. Amen. There's something that gets a hold of a person of faith, even when they can't see it, and they can't hear it, and they can't touch it, and they can't taste it, and they can't smell it. But on the inside, there's this hope that rises up. Hallelujah. I'm telling you today that hope is important. Earlier this year, there was some young men. They were professional football players. I don't remember which team they played for, but they went out into the Gulf of Mexico to do some fishing. And the storm came up. Their boat turned over. They were out there for some time. Two of those young men, after a little while, just gave up hope and started swimming off into the distance. One of them just clung to the boat, even though it was upside down. He was just hanging on. There was something in him that said, maybe somebody will come along after a while. Maybe somebody will come and rescue me. If I'll just hang on to this upside down boat, maybe there's a way out of here. Maybe I can live another day. And guess what? Eventually somebody happened by and saw him and rescued him. What was the difference in the three? One man had some hope, and the other two gave up hope. I'm telling you tonight, there's an important factor in hope. Amen. The word doubt simply means to be of two minds. It means you haven't made up your mind yet. Unbelief is simply the opposite of belief or the opposite of faith. If you don't believe, then you just don't believe. There's no two ways about it. I'd rather be a doubter than an unbeliever. Because a doubter still has some hope. A doubter still has that element that causes him, even though he's not quite there yet, there's that hope that's on the inside that said, maybe there's something to it. I don't know if I can buy the whole package yet, but there seems to be something to it. Hallelujah. Hey, if you're not completely convinced yet, but you think there might be something to it, that's hope. And you use that hope, and you act on that hope, and it'll take you further than where you've been. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, I've heard in the Bible teaches us very plainly that a double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways. And that's true. You don't know yet. You're tossed to and fro. I read about a man in the Civil War. He had sympathies with the North and he had sympathies with the South. He didn't know if he wanted to be on the Yankee Army or the Confederate Army. So he said, well, he said, I'll get me a gray coat like the Confederates have, and I'll get some blue trousers like the Yankees have. And guess what? He got shot at from both sides because nobody knew what he stood for. That's what happens when you're double-minded. You get shot at from the devil and you get little help from God because you don't know what you stand for. Amen. But there's that hope that's on the inside. The importance of hope is that it's the first step toward faith. If you act on your hopes, you go toward faith. Hallelujah. It's potential faith. It's not fully developed yet. Amen. It's not fully realized yet. But hope causes you to step out where you are normally and ordinarily would not go. Amen. Hope is so important to us. The Bible said in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, talking about Abraham, who hoped against hope. Amen. Believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. There didn't seem to be any hope. His wife was 75, and then she was 80. And then she was 85. Amen. And he was older than that. But finally, when his wife was 90 years old and he was 100 years old, he hadn't give up hoping, folks. Hallelujah. And his faith was rewarded. Amen. And Isaac was born. Praise God. Amen. That's what hope does. When you act on your hopes, you're going toward faith. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and 25. It said, for we are saved by hope. But hope is that which but hope that is seen is not hope. In other words, if you can see it, why hope for it? For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Amen. I believe in hope tonight. I believe in a resurrection of the body. Hallelujah. I believe in salvation of the soul. I still believe in a real heaven with streets of gold and one throne, and Jesus sits on that throne. I still believe in eternity with God, in peace and in power, in heavenly places. I still believe in that. Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's hope. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. The Bible said, Romans chapter 12 and 12, rejoicing in hope. Everybody say, rejoicing in hope. That's what makes us rejoice, Brother Ferguson. Amen. Even when you're praying and you're sick and you don't get healed, you still got hope. Amen. You're praying for a situation to change. It hasn't changed yet. You still got hope. Amen. Praise God. But Brother Grissom, what if I die and don't get healed? Then you'll really be healed. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord. I'll have a new life. One guy got excited. He thought he'd have a new wife, but that's not what it said. It said a new life. Amen. Praise God. There's hope, folks. Amen. There's rejoicing because there's hope. Hallelujah. Amen. We live in a world that's awfully hopeless. People around us, it's such a travesty. They're so sad because they don't have any hope in their life. They live in despair because they have such little hope in their lives. Amen. What a sad way to live, but you can live in joy because of hope. Amen. Romans 15 and 13 said, "Now the God of hope," everybody say the God of hope. Hallelujah. We have a God that represents hope today. "The God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." Hallelujah. That's why we have hope tonight, because we have the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. No matter how bad a situation gets, a Christian still has hope. Amen. That's so important tonight. Amen. Hebrews chapter 6 and 19 said it this way. He said, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Hope is an anchor. It's what holds you when the storms are raging. Amen. And you don't bolt and you don't give up and you don't quit because you got an anchor. You got something sure. Got something steadfast. Amen. What makes a dying saint lift up his hands? Hallelujah. Not despair. What causes somebody with a diagnosis of death placed upon them by a physician? Amen. And it's getting to be all over. Why do they still have hope? Why do they still sing? Why do they still praise? Why are they at peace? Why do they have joy? Why are they happy? Why do they sing? Why do they praise? Amen. Because they have hope. Amen. Paul said, if I had hope in this life only, I would be of all men most miserable. But he had a hope that transcends this life, that goes beyond the grave, that goes beyond death, that goes beyond sickness, that goes beyond anything in this world. Amen. That's the hope I'm talking about tonight. Hallelujah. Anybody have hope here tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope's going to carry you through a lot of things. 1 John chapter 3 verse 2 said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." Hallelujah. You know, there's a hope that'll make you do better. There's a hope that'll make you want to live right. Praise God. There's a hope that'll make you want to be righteous. There's a hope that'll set a higher standard and help you reach for a higher goal. It'll not go down the long road, but it'll take the high road. Hallelujah. Because there's a hope. Amen. 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 I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to quit. Because I got a hope that one of these days I'm going higher. Amen. There's a hope that causes us to purify ourselves. Amen. I want to be pure. Amen. I remember all these things started, seems like when I was a teenager, they started saying everybody's doing it. No, they're not. There's some that are purifying themselves because they have hope. Hallelujah. There are some that are still living by a higher standard because they have hope. Amen. Amen. Acting on your hopes tonight. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So your hope is important. You have hope tonight. And my, what a great thing that is. It's going to move you toward faith. This man came, the Bible said in Mark chapter 9, we read this father, he had a son that was suicidal. They could never leave him by himself. Was always trying to destroy himself. The Bible says if he got close to water, he would throw himself in and try to drown himself. Or if he got close to a fire, he would throw himself in the fire and try to burn himself. They had to watch him every moment. They had to put somebody watching him at night. They had somebody have someone with him through the day. They could never take their eyes off of him. And the father was looking for some help somewhere. And I don't know where he heard about it, but somebody must have told him about somebody called Jesus, because he came looking for him. Hallelujah. Amen. You know why he came looking for Jesus? Because he had a little hope. And that hope propelled him and said, I don't know if he can do anything or not, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to find out. Hallelujah. So his hope brought him to where Jesus was. Amen. Jesus walked upon the scene. They were having a discussion with his disciples. You see, the disciples had tried to do what they could do, but they couldn't do very much. Amen. He can. He can. Hallelujah. Jesus, he can. Hallelujah. And so Jesus walks up, and then he begins to actually kind of berate them because of their doubt and their unbelief. And this father turns to Jesus, and he's so broken, and but hope propels him. Hope makes him do something that he would not ordinarily do. And so the father says, he said, if you can, he said, if you can, would you please help him? Amen. If you can, everybody say, if you can. If you can, would you help him? And Jesus' answer was simply this. He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. What the man is saying, I'm not there yet. I'm not full of faith yet. I'm not fully convinced yet. My experiences have not allowed me to step into that realm. But there's something inside of me that says you can. And if you can, please help us. You see, you had some hope. I'm telling you tonight, you might have some doubts and you might have some reservations, but don't let that hold you back. Just come to him just as you are. Let hope propel you into his presence and say, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I still have some reservations, but work with what I've got, please. Hallelujah. You know what? The Lord didn't cast him out. The Lord didn't say, I can't help you, sir. No, he didn't. Hallelujah. The Bible said he just goes over to the boy and he speaks to the spirits that were in him and he casts them out. And the boy falls down and starts having a fit on the ground. Amen. In a little while he lays like he's dead. And Jesus walks over and takes him by the hand, lifts him up, and he's delivered. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm just saying to you tonight, maybe you don't have all the faith you want to have, but hope is what you've got. Just follow your hope and act on your hope, and it'll propel you into faith. I can promise you one thing. After that boy was healed, his father had some faith. Hallelujah. Amen. He had a testimony, didn't he? Amen. He could go home and sleep at night. I know that his boy was going to be all right. When he got up in the morning, he was still going to be safe. He could send him off to play like other boys, and he was going to be all right. He was going to be okay because of Jesus Christ and what he did. Hey, let your hope bring you face to face with a miracle. And when God does that miracle for you, it will put faith in your heart. You'll have a testimony. And from that point on, you'll be able to do things you couldn't do before. Amen. Brother Fry, the Lord do anything for you last week? Oh, yeah. Tell us about it. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, he's still in the healing business. Amen. He still does his work. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. In the book of 2 Kings, there is such an interesting miracle. I think one of the most fascinating miracles in all of the Bible. Some of the most unlikely characters. I mean, you would never have expected a miracle to come from this particular direction. The Bible says that because of their wickedness, the armies of Israel had come against them and pinned them into the city of Samaria, and they were under siege. The siege lasted so long that they began to starve to death. And the Bible says that a donkey's head sold for 80 shekels. That's a lot of money. A donkey's head. Now, I don't know. You're getting pretty desperate when you get down to donkey's head. But it's even worse than that. Amen. It said a little cap full of dove's dung. Now, you're really getting bad off when you buy that. And that sold for a handsome sum. I mean, people were starving to death. The king was walking one day, and this woman stopped him and said, King, help me. He said, what can I do for you? He said, well, yesterday, this woman and I made a covenant, and we made an agreement that I would eat my son today, and tomorrow we would eat her son. She said, we ate my son yesterday, but she's hiding her son today, and we can't find him. I mean, it had gotten that bad. Cannibalism. Mothers were eating their own children. It was a desperate situation, folks. And things were not looking up. The enemy was still on the outside. But the Bible said outside the gate of the city, there were four desperate men. They were lepers. They were dying men. They couldn't go in the city because there was nothing in the city. And people in the city were dying. Down the road, there was a ruthless enemy that would kill them. And so they sat there, and all of a sudden, one of them got this brilliant idea. He said, why don't we go down to the Syrian camp? He said, well, all they can do is kill us. We're going to die anyway. Hallelujah. Let me just remind you of something. If the rapture didn't happen pretty soon, you're just going to die anyway. Amen. And so they said, well, we're just going to die anyway. Said, we can't go in the city because there's death there. And all that can wait for us down the road is death. It might be that they'll have mercy on us. You just never know. So those four old lepers got up and started down the road. Amen. Now, God uses some unusual things to perform his miracles. But he took the footsteps of four lepers and he magnified it until it sounded like horses and chariots and an army. And the Bible said that by the time those lepers got to the camp of the Syrians, they had fled and run off. They left their fires burning. They left everything just like it was. Their tents were set up. Everything was left behind, and the road behind them was strewn with clothes and with swords and with spears. And with that, I mean, they were getting out of there. They didn't want anything holding them back. Can you imagine the shock and the surprise of these four lepers when they walked in? I mean, there was food on the fire. All they had to do is just go get it. And they were gorging themselves and they were getting gold and silver and nice clothes and everything they could find. And they were taking it out and hiding it. And all of a sudden it dawned on somebody, hey, you know what? We're not doing good here. There's people starving back there. We need to go tell the king what's out here. We need to go tell the people what's out here. There's a good message there, folks. Amen. We get in here and we can gorge ourselves on the Holy Ghost. And we get full of the Spirit. And we enjoy ourselves. And we should. And we must. And it's necessary. And God wants us to. But let's not forget that there's a world that's dying out there. There are people on the outside of these walls that need what we have. And need to hear what we know. Hallelujah. And so they said, we need to go tell the king. You know what the old prophet said? Elisha had told the king's courier the day before Whenever the king said, "This is if I ever find Elijah, I'm going to take his head off." You know what? God can't touch our people. Can't touch you unless God permits it. That's why Paul called himself a prisoner of Jesus Christ. He realized he was a prisoner because God allowed him to be. If the Lord wanted him out of there, he'd get him out of there like he did Peter. We just preached about. Hallelujah. Amen. And so he understood that. And when you understand that, it takes your fears away. You don't have to be living fear of people or of situations because God is going to take care of us. Amen. And so the prophet said, he said, tomorrow at this time, he said, outside these walls, he said that they're going to sell a sack of flour for a shekel. And he said, they're going to sell two sacks of rye for two shekels. Amen. It's going to happen tomorrow. And they couldn't believe it. They said, no, you're crazy. Don't you know, if God were to start raining right now, it'd take a whole season for the grain to produce. That's impossible. Nothing's impossible with God. What he didn't understand was there was food just right down the road. Hallelujah. A whole army's worth. Praise God. Everything, all their provisions were just outside the gate. Amen. And so the prophet said, it's going to happen whether you believe it or not. He said, but you're not going to get a bite of it. You're going to die before it happens. And you know how he died? He got stomped because the people were going, they believed the promise and they were going out to see it and they ran right over him. Hallelujah. Trying to get to the bread. Praise the Lord. Amen. And God not only saved four lepers, but he saved the city. You see, they just acted on hope. They just acted on their hopes. Amen. Praise God. I'm just saying tonight, folks, that you act on your hope. You may not have your cup full of faith. There may still be some lingering doubts. You may not be fully convinced, but on the inside, there's that hope that says it's going to be all right. If I can just get to Jesus, I don't know how it's going to be, but if I can just get there. Amen. There was a man outside the city when Jesus walked out one day. The man saw him coming. And this is what he said. He said, Lord, if you will, you could make me clean. If you would, you could heal me. I always found it interesting that the Father, his doubt was if Jesus could. If you can, would you heal my son? The leper had no doubt that he could. His only doubt was, if he would. Let me tell you tonight, he can and he will. He can and he will. Hallelujah. Creation tells us that he can. If he can make all of this with a word, what lacks that he could not do? Amen. He can do everything. He made your physical body. He made the person that you are. Hallelujah. He can do anything. There's nothing that restricts God. Amen. He can do anything he desires. There's nothing unlimited for him. And Calvary tells us that he will. If he would go to Calvary and give his life and shed his blood for you and I, it says, I will. So I'm just telling you tonight, if you've got any questions about whether he can or not, I'm telling you he can. And if you've got any questions tonight about whether he will or not, he will. Amen. Has he done anything for anybody here? Amen. Are any testimonies here tonight that God's done something? Hallelujah. He did, he can, and he will. Hallelujah. There's nothing lacking in Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm talking to you tonight about your hopes. Amen. That hope, it just reaches out. It just reaches out. And yes, there's some doubts. Yes, there's some things that may be in the back of your mind, or maybe you're battling to even get here. But I'm telling you tonight, if you'll act on that hope, it'll bring you full-fledged to faith. Amen. And God will do a work in your life. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. Act on your hopes. It's the first step toward faith. Act on your hopes. It's the first step toward faith. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody here hoping for something tonight? Are you hoping to make a change in your life? Amen. There's a big need somewhere. Amen. You haven't been able to do anything about it. You haven't found anybody else that can do anything about it. Situations rise in your life and you don't know what to do, don't know where to turn. There are some things that people are just not able to answer, some questions that have not been answered, some needs that have not been met. I'm inviting you tonight, act on your hope. Amen. You may be like that, Father. I don't know if you can or not, Jesus, but I, if you can, I sure do need your help tonight. I've been to other places and they haven't been able to do anything, but if you could, if you just could, if you just could. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, give them a chance. Just give Jesus Christ an opportunity. Act on your hope. Amen. There's an altar here tonight if you'd like to come and just give God a chance. Just give God a chance. I'm hoping, Lord, that you can do something tonight. And as you lift up your face and your prayer and your voice and your faith begins to develop, you begin to feel more and more and more of the presence of God. His sweet spirit, His peace, His joy begins to fill your heart. Then you'll know that He can, and you'll know that He will. Amen. Praise God. That's it. Amen. Let's just come into His presence here tonight. Bring everything with you. Don't leave anything behind. Amen. Bring everything with you. Don't try to leave anything behind. Amen. He wants it all tonight. Not only the good, He wants the bad. Amen. He wants all of your faults and your failures just as He wants your abilities. He wants your past just as much as He wants your future, because He's the only one that can do anything about it. He wants your sins as well as your faith, because He's the only one that can do anything about your sins. He can bury them. He can wash them. He can cleanse them. Amen. Beneath His precious blood. Let's give it to Jesus tonight, shall we? Let's just give it to Jesus. Let's give it to Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's give it to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.